Now we're going to read together the Word of God in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, and the book of Proverbs should always be before us. What help, what instruction, what knowledge flows from the Proverbs that Solomon and others penned under inspiration. So we're reading in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. We'll end our reading here at the verse 21, and we know the Lord will be pleased to bless the public reading of His Word to all of our hearts. As we come to the message, let us unite our hearts together in prayer. We'll look to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the Word of God. We remember how it was said of Timothy that from a child he knew the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise to salvation. Lord, we know that Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It shines on our way. It leads and directs us to the cross, to the bleeding lamb, to the fountain flowing for sin and uncleanness. And O Lord, we pray this evening that Thou wilt bless the going forth of Thy word to the salvation of others. We pray that others will come just as they are and cast themselves upon the mercy of God in Christ, and find forgiveness of sin, peace with God through the blood of the cross, and have the assurance of eternal life. So, Lord, enable, give the grace and the wisdom and the blessing of heaven in this service now. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 21, the Lord says that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. A man was heard to say, I think I have discovered the secret of life. You just hang around until you get used to it. An American magazine columnist, author and lecturer, Marlon Vos Savant, is listed in the Guinness Book of Records as having the highest IQ in the world. And her magazine column drew this question: life is more exhausting than I ever imagined. Is this normal? Marilyn responded, giving the following analogy about life. She said, much of the time, life is like going through the airport, steering a laden trolley with one malfunctioning wheel. Sometimes you just feel ridiculous. Sometimes you actually look ridiculous. And sometimes all you can do is just try to push it generally in the right direction. There is more to life than just hanging around, trying to get used to it, or just trying to push it in the right direction. Here is the key to it. When the Lord says in His Word that I may or I will cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. All who know the Lord as their Savior have substance. Paul could say concerning the believers in Corinth, and these are striking words, all things are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God. He could say to those people, all things are yours, since you have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. John the Apostle said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. In John chapter 10, and the verse 10, the Lord had this to say, the thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. Who does this thief depict? He depicts the devil. He has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy us spiritually. And then the Lord said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, the Christian, the one saved by grace, is at the fountainhead of life and of all fulfillment. Are you at the broken cisterns of this world, at cisterns that hold no water? Do you spend money for that which is not bread? Do you labor for that which is not, which is full of emptiness? Or do you know the Lord? Can you say with this text that you love the Lord and therefore you in Him have inherited substance? The Lord is your treasure. If not, we pray that tonight you will come to the path of spiritual life. We want to think then about spiritual substance. First of all, the search for substance. Substance, fulfillment, is the drive, the target that every person in this world aims for. The heart is in a quest for substance in the world, where all is but a shadow, a vain show. The riches of earth, of course, they look like the real thing, but the Lord describes them in Matthew 13 and verse 22. He describes them as deceitful riches. Riches without the riches of the grace of God, they can never bring lasting substance to your life. While you live a godless life, there is a vacuum. Or you may attempt to fill it with pleasure, with position, with power, with possessions, but you will still find yourself in want. We think of all that Solomon had. What possessions? And he could say in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 9. He's speaking of himself. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. What abundance! Solomon had all that man could wish for, but substance eluded him. He could find no substance in the world. Notice in verse 11 what he has to say. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. It was as if he was feeding on ashes in the search for substance in the world. People set their eyes on that which is not. Proverbs 23 and the verse 5 asks this question: wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? What is the question raising? It's speaking of things insubstantial, things without substance. Someone asked J.D. Rockefeller, the founder of an empire and fortune, how much money is enough money? Do you know what he said? Just a little more. He had millions, but he needed just a little more. You see, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesses. Rockefeller had it all, but in reality, he had nothing. The heart of man in this world is on a trivial pursuit, seeking substance where it can never be found. Here in the verse 5 of Proverbs 23, the Bible says, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. We came into this world with nothing, and we'll leave taking nothing with us. O multitudes, they weary themselves for very vanity, for the things that are insubstantial. It's a fact that there is a real search for substance on the part of men and women, but it eludes so many. That brings us to the source of substance. Man made in the image of God a spiritual being. Only spiritual things can meet the need of the heart. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, and the verse 4, the bride has this to say. We read about her. She says, I found him. She's speaking of the Lord. I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. Why would she not let him go? Because she had found the source of substance. Because the Lord met her deepest longing. Though it were possible for you to gain the whole world, your life would still have a void as great as ever before. Handfuls may be gleaned in the fields of this earth. A soulful is only to be had in a saving acquaintance with God through Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord is compared in Scripture to things substantial? For example, the Lord is set before us as the pearl of great price. He is said to be a whole bundle of myrrh. The Lord is the bread of life. He is the water of life. He is said to be the desire of all nations. He is set before us as the chiefest among 10,000. To all who know him, he is precious. The Lord, who is the maker of all things, is the one who gives being and substance to everything. He is substance itself. In Colossians chapter 2, and verses 9 and 10, we read that in him, in the Lord, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Ye are complete. The word means filled, full. In him, the Lord is the source of all substance. In Christ, there is a full pardon. Through Nathan the prophet, the message came to David. The Lord hath put away thy sin. And in response, David put on his best clothing and anointed himself. That's strange, for his boy born to Bathsheba had just died, and he had just been told that the sword would not depart from his house. Despite all of that, what a burden was lifted from his heart when his sin was put away. David was so conscious of how he had sinned. He says in his penitential Psalm 51, against thee only have I sinned. And what a message this was from Nathan, when he could say, the Lord hath put away thy sin. What about your sin? There's none sinless. None of us. There's none that sinneth not. Sin is the fly in the ointment of your life, here and now. And in eternity, it will cause the reaping, the fearful reaping of everlasting destruction. But here is the gospel good news, that through Christ, his shed blood, Your sin can be pardoned. It can be put away. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord revealed himself to Moses, his glory, saying, the Lord merciful and gracious. Oh, there's pardoning mercy with the Lord. He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. There's a full pardon through the gospel. There is full peace in the gospel. Peace with God, that is your great need. You live under heaven's displeasure. Live under the curse of the broken law. You live exposed to the righteous anger and wrath of the holy God. But here is the good news of the gospel. Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross. Romans 5 and 1 spells it out. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By Christ on the cross, peace was made. My debt by his death was all paid. No other foundation is laid for peace, the gift of God's love. Peace, peace, sweet peace, wonderful gift from above, the gift of God's love. And then in Christ, there is a full prospect. The Hebrew Christians experienced great hardship as they renounced Judaism and followed the Savior. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34, Paul says to them, ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. They lost so much. They gave up so much in following the Lord. And then he says, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. They were enduring hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And Paul comforts them with this prospect. Ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Earthly things are passing. They are fleeting. In heaven the Christian has laid up an eternal weight of glory. It is that better country. It is the Father's house. It is the place where the redeemed behold the face of their Redeemer and sing the eternal song unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The Bible says, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he who was rich for our sakes, yours and mine, became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. The Lord is the source of substance. Consider with me the satisfaction of substance. I was reared on a farm, mainly a sheep farm, and when the sheep had a belly full of good green grass, they lay down and they chewed the cud. They were at the source of substance. They had found just what they needed. And Paul mentions what seems as strange paradoxes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. These are strange words. He says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing. We thought this morning of how he didn't have clothes for his back. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. His sufferings in the cause of the gospel were such as that at times he was left with nothing. And yet he tells us here that he had all things. He was truly satisfied, for he had the Lord. Jacob refused Esau's present. And he said to Esau, I have enough. The meaning is, I have all. How could Jacob have everything? All? He had all in the sense that he had the Lord of all. The Lord says to his people, as the king of Israel said to the king of Syria, I am thine, and all that I have is thine. Jeremiah could say among all his lamentations, the Lord is my portion. What a portion. The Lord is El Shaddai. The meaning is, he is the God who is sufficient. Many years ago, when a missionary was boarding a ship to take her to the foreign land of her calling, a friend handed her a sealed envelope saying, if you ever come to a place where everything runs out and there's nowhere else to turn, open this envelope. Years later, the missionary came back and gave her report. And she held up the sealed envelope with much thanksgiving. And she said, for 30 years on the mission field, through hard times and good times, bad times and other times, I have never come to the place where there was nowhere else to turn. What a satisfying portion the Lord is to his people. As our text says, he fills the treasures of his people. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Lord said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find a wilderness. No, find pasture. Just like the sheep I mentioned a moment ago. The satisfaction of real substance. Then finally, we think of the securing of substance. Do you see what the text says? I will cause those that love me to inherit substance. Stanley Arnott was a great missionary to Africa. Before he was converted, his heart was very hardened against the gospel. But the words of John 3 in verse 16 came very forcibly one day. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And those words were a narrow to his heart. They drew him to the Lord. Oh, may you be drawn with the cords of divine love to the Savior, as William Tyndale was, as he thought of Ephesians 5 and verse 25, how Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Tyndale was drawn
by such infinite love. Rachel said, "Give me children or I die." So may you say, "Give me Christ or I die." Without him, you're lost and perishing. Without him, the darkness of a lost eternity awaits you. Oh, look to the one who so loved you and gave himself for you. And may you say this evening, "Love so amazing, so divine, shall have my soul, my life, my all." Make the wise choice that Moses made. Remember how it's written of him in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 24 through to 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He reckoned that the sufferings he would endure for the Lord's sake were preferable to pleasures, even the pleasures of the court of Egypt. He turned his back on Egypt, on this world, and sought real substance and treasures in the God of Israel, the God of our salvation. Truly, the Lord is the one who shows us the path of life. If you're without him, come to him, that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Turn with your whole heart from your sin, and turn to the one who is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May the Lord bless his word and draw you with the bands of Calvary love to himself.